Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to The Consciousness Shift with Nicole Tomasini and Gwen Berry. Today is Valentine's Day, so happy Valentine's to you, Nick.
Thank you very much. Same to you, Gwen.
Let's listen to a little Dr. John.
Nice.
Mother Earth fall the sky, grandfather sun, grandmother moon, would the ancients prophesy, they hate to stand alive, with their tales of certain doom, east, north, south, and west, up below in sacred center. The seven directions protect. The spirit never neglects us. The earth was created in 7 days. Man was conceived in 6 nights. 13 steps of creation. Take 9 levels to evolve. Around the center we all revolve. 2012 is not the end. It's time to begin again. Who will benefit from a state of panic? The same negative energy that currently rules the planet. Great spirit prophesies, when the light shines in the sky, we all will feed away. Listen at those open winds, got so much to teach us all. Take enough touching us every time we fall. Listen at yourself. Good feelings aren't really right. Listen at yourself. Will you listen to light? We ignorant to memories. Times we wasted. Make us cry if we start to lose. The gifts of love and sex we take to get us deep inside the blue. Listen at yourself. Good feelings aren't really right. Listen at yourself. Take on life before you be done. If your fantasy is as reality, making love just as it comes. Listen at yourself. Good feelings are really right. Listen at yourself.
You know, I could be Ophelia and I could say tomorrow is St. Valentine's Day, all in the morning the time, and I am made at your window to be your Valentine. Then up he rose and donned his clothes and ducked the chamber door, let in the maid that out a maid never departed more. Tell me where that's from.
Oh, I don't know.
That's Hamlet, Act 4, Scene 5.
Wow.
Actually, wow. You know, Valentine's Day, as we've come to celebrate it more commonly, is a product of the medieval renaissance of the English and Chaucer. Basically, the roses are red kind of echoes are from, you know, the high court of love that was basically a part of Chaucerian influence during the late 1400s, 1500s. Valentine, Saint Valentine, was also Chaucer that came with the idea of the, brought us the idea of the lovebirds too, and that story. But historically, there were a lot of Christian martyrs that were named Valentine. It was a common name, especially in early history and Roman history. And Valentine that became most popular was Valentine in Rome, who was a priest and who was martyred at really very early, about 269 AD after death. And his flower crowned skull, and I'm getting this information from, you know, resource here, is exhibited in the Basilica of Saint Marie in Cosmedin, Rome. So that's a church in Rome. But there were several Valentines, and basically, the day is a celebration of February 14th is celebrated as Saint Valentine's Day in various Christian denominations. It also, you know, is the first day of the Anglican Communion. It's about the saint and martyrdom. It's not about love and finding true love and being good to your true love, or, you know, all of the really actually wonderful things that Saint Valentine has gone on to inspire in later years, if you ask me personally.
So it's interesting. So what is the, how did Saint Valentine get linked to this day of lovety love, love, love?
Oh, the courtly love of the English Renaissance in the late 1400s, early 1500s, Chaucer and Shakespeare. They attached the, they connected it up February 14th. As a day of, you know, verse, basically. It was a day, especially in the Victorian era, which was not so long ago. It's been a day of speaking your heart and telling the truth to the person that you love, you know. And there's how much literature. I mean, I just spoke for Ophelia from Hamlet, but there are so many works of art, especially out of the Renaissance, with Chaucer and Shakespeare and so many other writers of the day that devoted that. I mean, Romeo and Juliet, come on, babe. You know.
Mm-hmm.
So
it's interesting. It sounds like the day, it reminds me of the Day of Atonement, you know, where you go around and you ask forgiveness, and it's all about, you know, being kind, and so, but different, you know, like kind of like that, only over here in an atonement with love, or saying, speaking the truth about love, being focused on love, and then it gets into Hallmark, right? But it makes a lot more sense.
Yeah.
In the,
well,
beginning,
you know in it's been exported to the East, into Asia, and you'd be surprised, but it's actually from Korea and China and Japan that the idea of giving chocolate.
Oh,
on Valentine's Day, that's where that comes from. Yes, let me tell you what, especially the Japanese, They are very crafty people. They work with scents, and they work with chocolate, and they work, and they do just a bang-up job, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, and amazing wrapping, too. I mean, if you've ever gotten, we had a Japanese friend, and she would bring home, like, sweets and things, and just the wrapping that it was
doing. Oh, yeah, it's an art. It's an art. Yes, to be gifted with goodies from Japan is to truly be gifted. it's something that, yeah, oh, yeah. I remember that my mother had, and my sister had it, and I think she sold it, but my mother had an antique Valentine's Day card that was made in the late 1700s in England, framed. That was, she had the front of it framed, but she made sure that if it was ever opened, it could be opened up again. And on the inside of it, because there was a photograph on the back side of the frame that showed the inside. And the handwritten note to the wife from the husband on it was incredible. On St. Valentine's Day, you stop and you watch the rose bloom, you know?
Mhm. Well, that's a lovely idea. That's a lovely to make it more about a day of love instead of about chocolates and cards, which clearly can be incorporated into this day of love. But it seems we shifted our focus a little bit.
It is. I don't think that our I don't think the last probably 40 years or 30 years of humanity really understands how devoted you would have to be, say, 50 years ago to go and buy a greeting card and to pick it out. I think it still takes, it takes thought to go and pick a greeting card and to write something in it and make sure it gets a message across to somebody. I mean, it's, you know, Valentine's Day cards where you buy bunches of them for the children in school to give out. That's a whole lot different thing. That's social indoctrination and programming.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then the social pressures when you're in second grade and, you know, somehow you only got one or two or none, and then somebody else says something else and it starts like a whole other thing. It's like a whole pressure for the next year. That's true.
Well, but, you know, but basically, got to tell you, the giving of cards and chocolates. I mean, you got to remember how, when it began, how rare it was and how expensive it was to buy, you know, handmade chocolate candies.
Mm.
My goodness. Oh, and marzipan candies. And hey, it's an art. You can still find that art out there, but it costs you big bucks now, whereas you can go into, like my kid's sister will do, she'll see she likes the M&Ms, you know, and they have the for the little dark chocolate M&Ms and the pink and red candies, and she loves them, you know, and which is great. That's good, but it's still not the same thing as getting them Japanese chocolates.
Yeah, totally.
Before you go.
Yeah.
Yeah, but before you go on, so what's the story of actual St. Valentine? Like, so Chaucer made the link to what we do today, but, like, what's his deal? Why did he become a saint?
Well, as I was telling you, there were numerous Christian martyrs named Valentine. It was a very common name. And the church chose February 14th, to commemorate a Saint Valentine's Day to honor these martyrs in a sort of a combined the Valentine Martyrs Day.
I see.
and celebrate his, you know, martyrhood or martyrdom. But there were Valentines in, they were all Romans, and they were from Rome, but they were in also in Spain and even in Dublin, Ireland. And it was basically they commemorated the first time St. Valentine's Day was celebrated for the very first time in, I'm checking here to be sure, in the 15th century, they're not saying what day, but that's when the church began to devote a holy day to St. Valentine as a martyr.
I see.
The reason for the crossover, and I'm looking for that, is the love birth. Yes. But hang on.
I see.
You know, Valentine's Day has never been big on my list.
What did you say?
It's never been very big on my list.
Yeah.
And I'm not finding.
Yeah, go ahead. It's funny because I used to put a lot of pressure on Valentine's Day, as I also put on my birthday and New Year's. It was like I was in it and not really enjoying the pressure that I put into it. So, you know, once I figured it out and released myself from these things, I was like, oh, I don't know, why is it such a big deal? So I think maybe that's why I also think about talking about people going into self-love in this day, because I do realize how it can be a whole trip that, you know, you just didn't want to go on.
Well,
and then other things too, but, you know.
Well, it was also the modern cliche, the Valentine's Day poem that is out of Girton's Garland that we all heard when we were a kid, is from Edmund Spenser's epic, The Faerie Queen, from that same era of, you know, of courtly love in the 1500s. And that's where, you know, the rose is red, the violet's blue, the honey's sweet, and so are you. Thou art my love, and I am thine. I draw thee to my Valentine. The lot was cast, and then I drew, and fortune said it should be you. And that's the poem as it was.
Oh, wow, so much clarification, Glenn. Thank you.
You know, one of the first places in this country that it was a huge institute during the Victorian era was in Worcester, Massachusetts, which is like, if you've ever been to Worcester, it's not my favorite city. It's the only place that I'll drive around it. They have a lot of historic buildings, but it doesn't feel too good there to me. Now, I don't want to be pounding down on Worcester, but, you know, it's just not my kind of place. However, that's where Esther Howland was, the woman who basically mass produced all the Valentines for folks, you know, for children out of Worcester in the Victorian era. So, you know, that takes a very nice energy. When you're thinking about children, you know, I remember my mom would buy a bag of Valentines for us, and she said, now you make out one for every one of your classmates, and mm-hmm. you know, it's that's the way, I mean, when I went to school, when I was a little kid in grade school,
mm-hmm.
the sisters or nuns, remember I was in parochial school, the nuns would tell us about St. Valentine, and I think they had a standard story they told on it. I can't remember for the life of me what it was.
So you heard it every year, and it went in one ear and out the other. It probably wasn't that genuine of a story. A lot of times those don't stick.
Hey, listen, them broads made us go in and do the Stations of the Cross, and that was horrific, if you ask me, for little children.
Wow.
But
I don't know what those are.
Well, the Station, did you ever see the Passion of the Christ that was made by Mel Gibson?
Yeah.
Well, from the laying on of the beating by the Romans to the carrying of the cross all the way up to Golgotha. Those are
Wow.
of the cross. And the older the nuns, the more horrific the stories and the visionary that they would give to children. Okay? You know, I mean, we're getting a good, now there is a tie-in. This week, we've been told that the Pope, Ratzinger, is stepping down from his seat as the Vicar of Christ. Yeah, you didn't hear that the Pope was abdicating?
I saw somebody post, they referred to it. I was like, oh, what happened there? So now I know. Wow, why? That's very interesting. And when was the last time that happened? Good question.
600 years ago.
How long?
600 years.
600 years, wow. And why did he?
Well, he's been implicated in documentary after documentary in the last couple of years. For putting aside and squashing and hiding the truth about pedophilia in the Catholic Church. And this is something that has gone on since the year 300 AD.
Wow.
And I think it is one of the most vicious, nasty, evil things that could ever happen on the planet. These men, predominantly men, but there's been many women in the church who have done the same, but predominantly men. And even today, I listened the other night because I saw the documentary, and I listened the other night to a fellow who works for the Vatican, actually works for the Vatican News Service. He isn't paid by the Vatican, but he is, his company is employed by the Vatican. And he sat and said he's heard cardinals say that, well, boys get over these things, and it's an old tradition, and just horrifying things that these old, I can't be kind with my description of these red hats. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And so they didn't say anything more to describe these men. Other than to say that they're despicable, they're evil, and look what they've done to the most innocent, trusted by parents for over 1,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
Over 1,000 years. How would you like to carry that karma around?
No, thank you.
This fellow is stepping down. And well, I can imagine he does look frail, but more often, if you see photographs of him, I think he's playing it up myself. More often when you see photographs of this guy, I mean, you know, you can say, oh, well, all the kids were young Nazis at his age, and you can say all kinds of things, but you know, the time usually language like that is over. The world is changing, and to make changes, there have to be great catalytic changes to happen that are not going to be easy. And I think this is the first step of one. You know, when I was a kid, I dreamt things, and I would wake up and I would know if they were going to happen. And unfortunately, horrific things, the death of family members, came to me. And it's what made me close myself off to that when I was just a child. But one of the things that I did dream was that the Catholic Church would be destroyed while I was alive. It would be on its knees.
Wow.
And when you consider the largest banking, one of the largest banking firms on the planet, that's pretty horrific too for the economy of the planet, you know. People never surprise me with what they do with greed, money, and stuff. But St. Valentine's Day, it was a holy day in the church. It became a day of, with the heart of St. Valentine becoming into the English high courtly love. And I think that's kind of a beautiful translation. And it's very sweet energy, unless you're from Chicago. They can be pretty tough on you.
Wow.
Not many people get that. They're like, what the hell is she talking about? Talking about the St. Valentine's Day Massacre. So when you talk about, you know, a day that resonates, that we can tap into self-love, you're really right, because I think overall the St. Valentine's Day tradition that we now follow, I think, is a lot more healthy, a lot more wonderfully aligned, has beautiful resonance. And if you take and look real closely during St. Valentine's Day, and sometimes the days leading up to it, as people are making plans to surprise their wives, their husbands, their girlfriends, their fiancé, you see a little pink light around people, you know, and it's a beautiful thing. It really is. So there's a wonderful translation and transformation of energy that could be considered, on the one hand, from the evil old institution and of course this is just Gwen's interpretation, but into the wonderful, beautiful traditions that have come up the road for the last 600 years, especially when you consider, you know, you can go online now and find pictorials of old St. Valentine's Day greeting cards. And I'll tell you, some of them are just truly fabulous.
Wow. Nice.
And like you say, self-love, that is a wonderful standard for today. If you don't, I guess that, well, when you say you put a lot of pressure on yourself, you mean that you wouldn't be alone, that you needed to have a date or what?
Yeah, like I wanted to have that fantasy Valentine's Day and feel that love with somebody. And it's funny because all of the boyfriends that I've had, it always never really quite was around Valentine's Day, or never really, or I was with somebody that I just realized it just wasn't, you know, I was chasing this fantasy dream of what the Hallmark, you know, Joan Cleaver kind of a Valentine's Day should be. And it was a total, you know, fabrication in my head, but it gave me a lot of pressure. It's funny. And then people would ask questions like, oh, you know, are you doing anything, or do you have someone to go out with? And if I didn't, like, I would feel things about it. It would, like, attach to things. I mean, it's funny now to think back to the way that it would be. But that was how it was.
I hear you. Wow. Wow. Okay.
Well, and if someone I was with didn't do what I thought should be done, it was also, you know, rubbish. Amazing. Anyway, go on.
Oh, my goodness, that is, well, no, it's, I know my sister has spent some Valentine's days feeling, you know, badly about it because she wasn't with somebody who she loved. I've never really, waned away Valentine's Day. I've had a couple of very nice ones where I was dating and somebody took me out and we had a wonderful dinner and things. Long time ago, hasn't happened lately, and it's not so. I just never put huge energy into that. I know my mom loved it because my mom, she loved giving cards and gifts, and she thought they were very important. I for many years kept boxes, a couple of large boxes filled with that I found of my mom's cards that she had gotten from friends and over the years from people, and you know, she saves them all. I imagine you do too. I do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so they mean something, you know, and mm-hmm. And basically, on Valentine's Day, when you, like I was saying at the beginning, when you give a card, especially a card to somebody special,
mm-hmm.
wow, that can be really nice, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Have you ever gotten a really beautiful card that was well intended? And
oh yeah, and most of the time it was from friends and family. Those are really the best Valentine's Day cards that I've had. And my gay boys always, you know, if they send a card, it's like perfect.
Yeah, the boys know how to do that. I'll give you that, boy.
Yeah.
I never really, yeah, it's never been a big one on my list, but I do.
It's great. I think it's great. I don't think it needs to be, you know, it's like the last few years, and especially this year, when obviously I've been doing so much work on just being happier with myself every day.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, you know, I always regulate when things are coming around, how I feel about it. And, you know, it feels great. I mean, the greatest moment today was I got into the elevator with this elderly lady.
Uh-huh.
She was in one of those electronic wheelchairs. Uh-huh. And so we got into the elevator together, and then when she was leaving, I said, "Happy Valentine's Day." And she was like, "Oh, thank you." Like, she really needed or just appreciated somebody saying that to her. And I was like, "Wow, man. There you go."
Isn't that nice? I'll tell you what, opportunities that I've had to do something for somebody else, you know, spontaneously like that in the last couple of months, it's felt so good. I, mm-hmm. you know, it's different than it ever was, and maybe I'm just thinking that way because I want it to be that way. I don't know, but it just feels so much more. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. Like this whole day, everyone that I came into contact with was lovely, had lovely little conversation. Happy Valentine's Day was thrown in there or not, but it definitely was a lovely, floaty kind of day, and that's a great thing. I mean, that's really what the focus should be about, however that manifests itself. And I think it's a great opportunity to have this love day and to reflect yourself on it. So to find if you're feeling anything that are discomfort or not resonating with love, then you can see where you are. And if you can get on top of it and find that self-love on this day, especially if there was stuff in there that you cleaned out. I mean, that's such a great feeling. So,
you're
you
saying,
know, to have this, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Please go on.
Yeah, I was just going to say, just to have this day, and it can, and you know, it's going to you're thinking about it a few weeks before and maybe a couple weeks after, especially if there's something that, you know, needs to be cleansed out. So this nice period in the year where you can do some really good heart cleansing.
Well, it is a heart chakra day. And I think what I'm getting is that you're saying that along with the beautiful traditions that have been transformed from Holy Day in the church into this high courtly love that was transformed in the Middle Ages into now a day that it personifies to the self and self-love and understanding that or bringing up an awareness. I think it's a great idea that you bring up the awareness that we need to love ourselves first. And
yes.
That's when all of the other beautiful stuff happens with the St. Valentine's Day traditions. And it's a heart chakra day. Those are wonderful ideas. Those are wonderful, mm-hmm. Those are wonderful traditions to emulate, if you will. Yeah.
Mm. Yeah, because you can see the difference when you're in a loving vibration, how people react to you. They almost can't help it. And it all flows naturally. And I was very much aware of that today. And maybe it's also because everyone was aware that it is Valentine's Day. So there was an added attention to how you're being with anyone, a male or a female, of being happy. Or maybe I was just happy and it just worked out that way. Maybe nobody really thought about it. Who knows, you know? Because that is how we find the love. And we always heard, you know, you have to love yourself before you love anyone else. But it's really vibrational, isn't it? You're not going to find a higher love in someone else if you are still, you know, hanging out in the basement. It's just not going to be a match like that. So to take the time to raise your vibrational love, then it's a means to an end, isn't it? You can't do it because it's a means to an end. Otherwise, it doesn't work. That's always, you know, a thing, but if you work on it with the right intention, it's inevitable. You just find yourself in a loving vibration, and that's what shows up.
Yeah, it's true, isn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It's true. And when you think of, especially from where I sit, I mean, I've created pure love oil, and I've taken the... especially taking the goddesses of love and stuff and worked with those traditions and studied them and the sensuality connected with them and the scents and created oils. People are, you know, they use perfume is one of the reasons for perfume is to attract and draw people for the purpose of falling in love, scent plays an important part as well as chocolate, and the other biggie is perfume.
Yeah, your pure love oil and the pure love soap is really, it smells like it's, what you would think pure love smells like. It really does.
It's a very high vibrational scent. It's very floral. It's and musky too, because mm-hmm. the flowers that are used are musky also. But it's a vibrational scent because love is the highest vibration. One world, one love. You know.
Mm-hmm. Let's get together and feel all right.
That's the Parent Trap.
Is this Bob Marley's in the Parent Trap?
First first and best version was Haley Mills with Maureen O'Hara and Brian Keith. And that was the song they sang together as the twins, you know, Let's Get Together, yeah, yeah, yeah. And then Lindsay Lohan redid it.
Wow.
It wasn't a bad one, a bad version either, but I prefer the first one. You know, when we give ourselves, talking about love, when you come on board and you're given the challenges or you choose the certain challenges and awaken to them in life, and there are many people on this planet that are born into and have to search so hard just for acceptance. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, when we think on the broader scale in a planetary, one world, one love, you know,
mm-hmm.
If you think about the things that are going on in so many different countries, it being Valentine's Day, what would you suggest as a really good vision, visualizing,
mm.
a really good vision for all of those people who have not really felt love enough to identify it as something they need to have for themselves? And the truth is that people probably do understand it uniquely on their own without it being
mm-hmm.
defined to them, because
mm-hmm.
I think right or wrong, it's one of those things we know and we carry inside of us and bring with us to the game, if you will. But
mm-hmm.
what would you say is the best vision for that?
Mm.
Well, what comes to mind is to tune in to the divine love, because most of us, that's an instant trigger to a bigger love than yourself. And so I would see angel wings wrapping around you in a hug, and feel that sensation of having angel wings and being comforted in that embrace. And it doesn't even have to be specific. I mean, if you are in tuned or you have an angel that brings more joy to you, then by all means use that. But even just the concept of a greater being coming and hugging with those angel wings, being enveloped in love, I think that's a good way to start it out. And then to anchor that love in yourself, to realize, okay, if you just think this visualization, look at the love that you can manifest within yourself, that you can bring forth, and see about anchoring that into how you love yourself. And, you know, I think for everybody it's going to be different. You know, I'm sure there'll be thoughts of what you don't love about yourself, but just like Abraham says, when you know what you don't want, you know what you do want. And
what are
so
some of the qualities of love? I think tolerance is a big one. Tolerance.
Yes.
I was reminded of that yesterday. I was reminded that I'm sometimes not very tolerant for spiritual
mm.
person, and it was a truth to hear.
Mm-hmm.
I get pissed off.
That's a big one, yeah. And tolerance with yourself,
yeah,
with others, it's all the same thing, absolutely. And then tolerance is closely tied to forgiveness and self-forgiveness and forgiveness of others. It's all that releasing, isn't it? It's all letting that cork float up, letting go of those things that are keeping
your cork from floating.
Yeah. Yeah. I hear you. I hear you.
And as well as the thoughts that we think about our bodies, what we have or haven't done in our life or any of those things, it can always go into an, okay, you know, I don't like this part. I don't like my size, let's say. Like, I always am angry about my size. And well, I realize it's not going to change itself until you say, okay, well, but what if I did love my size? Like, what if I had the greatest size in the world? Everyone wanted to have size like my size. What does that feel like? And start to move from that energy. And it's like any of these things, it takes practice, because you can flip back into, yeah, but, well, okay, but there's also the other but. So, yeah.
Fake it till you make it, you know?
Fake it till you make it, absolutely.
That's wonderful. Absolutely. That's really wonderful. I'm trying to think of one of the best. There have been a lot of in the last couple of years. There have been a lot of global events for meditation and peace and healing. You know, and I'll be damned if I can remember the last time that there was a global event for on Valentine's Day for Heart Chakra Awakening. And you know, that's a really wonderful project.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We should get something going for next year. That would be really great.
Awakening the heart chakra of the planet by awakening each of our own heart chakras through, you know, a precisely timed meditation for, say, 15 minutes or 10 minutes on, you know, and it helps to send that idea into someone who's got the larger email list, like Chopra or who else does that very well? Abraham Hicks. There's a few of them, but it's a really wonderful, I think it would be a really wonderful event, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely. And it ties into everything that we're talking about. I mean, that can only be a good thing.
I agree with you. So let's set that intention that next year on Valentine's Day, we are able to, you know, put out enough newsletters and interest, and you know, sometimes you start small with these things, but even if it's only two people, two become four, become, you know, the numbers go. But that Valentine's Day, with the intention of creating on Valentine's Day at a certain time, say the noontime Eastern Standard Time, which would in the UK be, you know, their evening, and it would be the morning in California. It would be a little late in Hawaii, but hey, you know, you can't have it all.
Yeah. Or even have it rolling for the whole day. And you know what I just realized? Next year is Valentine's Day year, because it's 2014.
You know, so I think we're on to something here.
Really?
We need to remember this, not let it go, and do our best through January next year to raise the awareness and get folks on board with doing a heart chakra day on Valentine's Day, awakening the heart chakra of the planet through the people of the planet.
And I wouldn't be surprised if being that that's the date of next year and the fact that we've had this conversation, if that doesn't happen a lot next year, if we're not the only ones doing it,
you know,
I think that'll be really cool.
Right here and right now, I'm gonna predict that you're absolutely correct on that one. It's, I think it was Jose Arguelles who used to say that, you know, the good ideas, they're right there in the ethers. Nothing is really unique or individual because we all share it. It's all in the, it's in the mental body of the planet, ready to be plucked out. So, you know.
Awesome. Yeah, it's true.
Tell me it's my true. Creativity ain't my own, but it's okay. I can live with it, you know. It's just...
Well, and I think we also put it in there, you know. We may be the one that got the idea first, and then it goes into the data bank, and then everybody's got it. That's what I think.
That's the truth. Do you have any announcements to make? I think we've covered a really good Valentine's Day show here.
Yeah, me too. Yeah. Well, hopefully within the next week we'll put up a little Drew and Nicole discussion on the I Love Nicole show about Valentine's Day. So and so we're gonna do some little snippets on ILoveNicoleShow.com. So you should check those out. We'll post those up.
Wonderful.
Thanks.
I'm looking forward.
Cool.
I'm going to be with Era Amartafio on the Akasha Temple this evening at 9 o'clock. We're not talking so much about, but I'm going to bring this up because I think this is a really good idea. Nicole and Gwen thought that maybe. next year, you know, it's going to be, that's really good, Nick. Next year is really a Valentine's Day year. It really is, isn't it? It's 2/14, you know, 2/14. And it's February 14th, 2/14. I mean, really, that's...
The year of love, baby.
Stop that one. I mean, shoot, we gotta work on that one.
Yeah,
out, man, bang, because it really is one world, one love. I will mention it on. I will make, because you know what, we do the drum line. We share on all the different shows, like the I Love Nicole show. And we got a gal, a friend, Kim G, publisher, who does AWOP Radio, which is part, you know, it's video and radio altogether. She does it through video and then podcasts it, so it's radio. She was on a radio spreecast, is what it's called, and it's a nice format when it works. It just rarely works, and it's one of those new things like Blog Talk was at once upon a time. She has AWOP Radio, plus she's working with Steve, oh, I forget his last name, but she has a site called Toke of the Town about legalizing marijuana for medical purposes and enjoyment too, you know, lifting your mind and whatnot. It's a good idea. I'm thoroughly supporting that. Also Martafio and our own Tricia Poole is P.E. Nolan is going to be working with Roundtree 7 and Worldwide Hippies to reinstitute her little videos of talk on the news of the week. So look
cool.
At that also. She has and I would like to enlist you at Roundtree 7 to join us with this, Nick, to do some salons on Google Hangout.
Nice. Sounds great.
Yeah. So we're doing the collaboration, the connection thing, and this would be the perfect kind of topic to introduce into there to all those hard-nosed political, you know, folks who are also doing great things. Asher Platt, from who is the punk patriot, who was a Green Party candidate up in Maine and also was part of OWLS. And you know what? Our politics are a spiritual expression of us, too. So it all comes to bear. Asher is doing It's Cool to Organize. And I think we can do that from the metaphysical end, too, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, what better way than to start promoting a heart chakra awakening day for the Valentine year.
Nice. Awesome. I love it.
Oh, we're at the end of the show.
Cool. Awesome.
I have a really great way to play us out because it is Valentine's Day, and it's been such a nice day for you, and it's not been a bad day for me either. I've been working here, and it's been peaceful. So I will give us a send off. Is that okay?
Yeah, absolutely. Happy Valentine's Day, everyone, and happy Valentine's Day, Gwen.
Happy Valentine's Day to you too, Nick. And it was great doing this show tonight with you. What a wonderful idea you came up with. I love it. And
thank you.
Work on that. And everybody, have a really great week. And work on your heart chakra. This is the week for it.
Just gotta let them, and the stuff just waiting for when you're ready. What happened?
The colors of the rainbow, so pretty in the sky, are also on the faces of people passing by.
Happy Valentine's.